Quintessential Pittsburgh, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Cole Porter's lyric said it best when he advised listeners to get out of town. It wouldn't be surprising if people heeded that advice in light of the recent snap of cold temperatures. Where better to escape than a nice warm beach? And here with some of her favorite low-key escapes is Elaine LaBalme, a contributing editor for the e-zine Pop City. She also tweets about food and travel under the Twitter handle New Girl in Town. Elaine, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, doing great. Good to see you, Paul.
All right, New Girl, you continue to scheme on ways to stay warm in the wintertime. So life's a beach, eh?
You know, it is. And I have to tell you, this year it's getting harder and harder to find ways to stay warm in the wintertime. But what I have done over the years is get down to Florida a couple times during the winter and actually throughout the year and check out quiet beaches. I did this a lot when my son was much younger. We'd go down to visit my mom and we would always look for a little beach, one that wasn't very crowded so he wouldn't get too excited and we'd be able to have some time together. And so I developed this, you know, short pocket list of cozy beaches that I still, you know, warm my heart and actually keep me warm when I get to Florida to this day, and happy to share them with our listeners.
Okay, well, let's talk about some of your favorite Florida beaches. And first up is Bill Baggs Cape Florida State Park on Key Biscayne near Miami.
Yes, this is a place I love, and I've visited it a number of times. The park itself is quite large, but the beach is very small. And the way you find it is you look up for the lighthouse. The lighthouse is known to locals as El Farito, which in Spanish means the small beacon. And it's a much-loved landmark in South Florida. The beach itself is really small. It's this little crescent of soft white sand backed by palm trees, sea grapes. And I've got to tell you, I've been there a number of times, and many times I'm the only one there. I remember a number of times when it was just myself and Steven. So, you know, Miami has got, you know, South Beach and lots of beaches just packed and filled with people. If you want a little oasis, a little escape, I couldn't recommend this beach more. Bill Baggs, right near El Farito. It's just a terrific place in South Florida.
Your own private beach. Well,
just about.
Okay. Well, next up is Bahia Honda State Park in the Florida Keys.
Yes, and this is a place we've talked about in the past, and I can't recommend this one more as well. It's mile marker 37 on your way to the Florida Keys. It has one of the clearest, expanses of blue-green water that I have seen at a beach anywhere. I mean, we're talking Florida, Hawaii, any beaches that I have visited. And it's also got this really long expanse where it's very shallow as you work your way into the water. So great for families, but really for anyone who just wants to, you know, enjoy a really calm beach experience. Not a lot of waves here. And I have to tell you, you absolutely own this beach, too. There are very, very few people who stop here off of the, you know, over the highway that goes to the Florida Keys and actually make, make a half a day or a day of it. So that's a wonderful spot to go. Of course, if you're going down toward the Florida Keys, you need to know where to have key lime pie. My two favorites, the restaurant at the Key Largo Marriott, and that's in Key Largo, of course. And then there's a little restaurant, not much more than a beach shack, called Lazy Days Restaurant on Isla Mirada. I remember last time we were in the Keys, my son did this spreadsheet about best key lime pies, you know, rated 8 or 10 of them, and these were the two that were at the top of the list. So there you go.
And you're doing, I think, what a lot of people are looking to do, which is find their own sort of private beach.
If at all possible, it's a great thing to do.
Can you go au naturel?
On both of the ones that I've mentioned, most likely. I don't know the legality of it, but there aren't enough people to object or to enjoy, for that matter.
But so, you might want to lay off the key lime pie if you're going to go that way.
Really small piece of key lime pie, Paul.
Right.
Sliver.
Kaladesi Island State Park is somewhat remote, which adds immensely to its charm.
Yeah, now here's the reason why a lot of people aren't going to get to this beach, because you can get there by ferry only. There's just a ferry that goes across a couple times a day. It's off of Dunedin, which isn't that far from Clearwater Beach. So you're talking western Florida here near Tampa Bay, St. Petersburg area. So you take this 15-minute ferry boat ride, just costs you, I think, $9, $10, and then you can spend, you know, half a day or a day on the beach. One of the neat things about this beach is has this really, really fine white quartz sand. So it's a stunning beach. Not a lot of people on this one either. This beach makes a lot of top 10 lists. You have Dr. Beach, as he calls himself, Stephen Leatherman, who makes a list every year of the best beaches in the U.S. Of course, it includes, you know, lower 48, Hawaii and whatnot. Most of the ones on the list are either Florida or Hawaii beaches. He always has this one on his list for good reason. I love Kaladesi Island. Beautiful.
And so you have to get your PhD to be Dr. Beach? Is that how that works?
He actually does have his PhD. He's actually very well respected. He's not just making it up for the internet. He's the real deal.
Captiva Island is kin to the more popular Sanibel Island in southwest Florida.
Yes, and when you think about these two, especially Captiva, you have to harken back to that Seashells by the Seashore rhyme book, whatever it was. This is right off of Fort Myers, so the southwestern Florida coast. The neat thing about Sanibel and Captiva is they feel, you know, very old Florida. You've got these pastel-colored little beach bungalows, and everybody moves at a much more leisurely pace. And you know, the beach itself on Captiva, it's a 5-mile stretch. So you go very far to the northern end of the stretch, and you're not going to find many people there. So it's a little bit closer to civilization in that there are some, you know, larger hotel properties or more populated restaurant stretches as you move your way south toward Sanibel Island. If you go north to Captiva, you could spend half a day shelling on that beach. I've done it and not see anyone else there. So again, it's a quiet beach. It's great for kids also because they're just so enchanted by, you know, the prospect of coming home with bagfuls of seashells that, of course, they will never do anything with and will collect dust in the basement. But you got to do it while you're there.
Or you can hold one up to your ear and hear the ocean.
The really big seashell that you get, yes.
Volano Beach, last but not least. Close by St. Augustine and Jacksonville and still feels a world away.
Yes, it does. And the neat thing is it is very close to St. Augustine, which is a place I love. You just take the causeway from the city over to the beach, probably a 15-minute drive, if that. It's this really long stretch of sand, also very wide. There you've got sort of like a creamy beigey sand, heavier consistency. So it's really good for, you know, I've often run on that beach, throw the frisbee. It's good to be active on that beach. But yet you could also, you know, sit on your lounger and just read. And not that many people are going to pass by as you hang out. You know, there are a lot of different beaches you could go to in the St. Augustine area. And they're beautiful. I love Ponte Vedra Beach as well. But Volano is probably one of the ones that I have found to be the least crowded. So I would go with that. Oh, and right around the corner, Caps on the Water, perfect place to have a drink at the end of the day or dinner. You would want to order the ahi tuna rare if that's your thing. Unbeatable plate of fish.
Wow. So many tantalizing notions.
Yes.
Even if you don't get to go, it's been fun hearing about them from you, Elaine. As always, a contributing editor for the e-zine Pop City, and she tweets about food and travel under the Twitter handle New Girl in Town. Elaine LeBalm, a pleasure as always.
Thank you, Paul.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. If you missed a portion of our program or would like to hear some of our past shows, you can do that and listen to them in their entirety at our website, WESA.fm. Until next time, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.